So this morning, that word commitment, right? It's Commitment Sunday. Over the last several weeks, we've talked about things like sacrifice. We've talked to things like faith and surrender. And we've said that as we walk through this unleashed, that it literally was a spiritual journey. And we encouraged, we hoped, we certainly anticipated that it would be a wrestling match. That you'd have to wrestle with God and wrestle with spiritual truths and spiritual growth aspects in some difficult ways. And it would generate some great conversations and some personal conversations. This morning, as we focus our attention on this idea of commitment, commitment brings up a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts in your head. And so I thought I'd just start with a simple question. Who is the most committed person that you know? Just think it through real quick. Maybe somebody at work, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a coach you had, maybe somebody that you know lives in your neighborhood. What is it they're committed to? So think that through and go ahead and get a picture in your head. Who is the most committed person that you know? And then I want you to do this. I want you to share it with the person beside you. 30 seconds you share and then listen to theirs. Go. You got about a minute to share. Who is that committed person? Not somebody you want committed. That is different. So as you're sharing those, here's the reality. See, there's no way I'd know everybody's story. I can't know everybody's person. Even if you shout them out, I wouldn't even know half the people that you mentioned, right? But I do know something about every person. I know something that joins every one of those stories. Guaranteed, this is it. I know how you picked them. I know why you picked them. Because they demonstrate it. They demonstrate commitment, right? There's a truth this morning that we're going to be talking about is that what we are committed to is always revealed. What we are committed to is always revealed. If you're committed to something, it shows. It's demonstrated. Everybody else knows it, right? I can look at you this morning. I can look at your schedule, your time, and look at your life, and I can tell you the things that you're committed to because it's always revealed. We know this. In marriage, if you are committed to your marriage, how do I know that? You got a ring on. You're faithful, right? You're coming home at night and spending time with your spouse. You're going on date nights. You're having conversations. You're investing in your marriage together. You go to a counselor if you need to do that. You're doing the necessary steps to build a marriage. I can also tell you the people who aren't invested in marriage. I can tell you people who aren't committed to their marriage. And I can tell you their activities because it's revealed in a whole other way, right? All of a sudden, when I think about commitment, I think about work, right? How do I know the people that are committed to work? You know who they are. You know the people who are busting their tails. You know the people who are putting in the hours. You know the people who are going the extra mile to make sure that your work and they're being productive and the mission of the work's getting done. You also know who sits in the corner office that's the slacker all the time. You know the person on your team that doesn't pull their weight. You know that. Why? Because it's been revealed. If they're committed, you see it. Think about things like healthy lifestyle. If you're committed to having a healthy lifestyle, it's revealed. What you eat, where you sleep or not, how much exercise you're getting. You can see the results of what you are committed to. And guys, that's the truth in anything in life. What we are committed to will always be revealed. So, Acts chapter 11 this morning. Remember, we're walking through in this series, the book of Acts a little bit, talking about this early church. What happened to the disciples after Jesus was crucified and resurrected? Where did they go? How did the church get its beginning? And so, we're talking about this early group of believers. We know they met in homes together. We know they prayed together. We know they were sacrificial and met each other's needs. We know that they studied God's word. We know that God began to grow them and add to their numbers. And now all of a sudden, the church has expanded to Antioch. All right, so here we are in the city of Antioch. It's one of my favorite passages about this church. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and where? Antioch. And they were speaking the message to no one except for Jews. So they're still keeping the gospel just to the Jewish people, even though we know that God's about to do something different. But there were some of them, Cypriot and the Cyrenian men, who came to Antioch, and they began speaking to the Hellenists, that's the Greeks. And they were proclaiming the news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And then the report was heard by the church that was at Jerusalem. And they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged all them to remain true to the Lord with a firm resolve of the heart. For he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and large numbers of people were added to the Lord. And so he went to Tarsus to search for Saul, which we know is going to also be who? Paul, the Apostle Paul, that wrote most of our New Testament. And when he found him, he brought Saul also to Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and they taught large numbers. And look at this, read it with me. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. In those days, there were prophets that came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine throughout the entire Roman world. This took place during the time of Claudius. Each of the disciples, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brothers that lived in Judea. And they did this, sending it to the elders by means of Barnabas and of Saul. So what do we see in that passage? Here's one of my favorite parts about that story. I love verse 26. One of my favorite things that stands out about that story. In verse 26b, read it with me again. It says what? The disciples were first called what? Christians at Antioch. Christians means Christ follower. They were first recognized to be Christ followers. But here's the cool part that you may not know. Do you know who called them Christians? Any guesses? It wasn't their self-given nickname. They didn't make it up on their own. Who saw it? If they're called Christians, who's the one that gave them the name? Non-Christians. The non-Christians looked at these people. They looked at these people that were gathering there in Antioch, and they knew there were some things that were being demonstrated about them, some things that stood out that were different than everybody else, and they gave them the name Christ followers. They knew there was something about them that stood out. Our heritage, our faith, our pilgrimage as Christians began through this church at Antioch. Why? Because there were certain things that they were demonstrating. What was different about these people? We see it. We've seen it all through the book of Acts. The first thing we know is this. They demonstrated this. They demonstrated they were sending, right? They were a sending people. We know this. Every time they looked up, they took their best leaders. They took their best followers. And they didn't just keep them to themselves. They didn't just hold their best people close and go, you guys got to stay with us. Instead, they did the opposite of what is natural, and they sent their people out. They sent their people into other places and parts of the world. Guys, don't miss this. Going out always brings hope to other people. That's why we do it. Going out to Moldova, going out to El Salvador, going out to East Asia, going out to Midlothian or Burleson, going out to campuses where kids are not having food and we provide backpacks for them over the weekends. When we leave the church and go out into the community and we live beyond the walls of the church, we always bring hope. And that's what they were committed to. Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3, we see it, right? It says here in verse 1, in the church, there was at Antioch, there was prophets and there were teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, the Cyrenian, Manian, a close friend of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. There he is again. And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, or send for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them to do. And in verse 3, it says, after they had fasted and they prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them off. Guys, churches that are growing, churches that are not consumed with themselves, churches that are thinking about taking the good news of the gospel to all people are churches that are sending churches. And this is what made them different. This was not something people were accustomed to. This was one of the reasons why they got the name. They demonstrated through this that they were Christians or Christ followers because they were not holding to themselves. They were sending out. Was what made them unique. The other thing you see here in the early church is they were a church that demonstrated incredible generosity. And everywhere you read, starts off in Acts chapter 2, we see it all the time. They're selling off their stuff. They're taking their goods, their worldly possessions, they're selling them, they're giving them, they're blessing other people. Here, there's a famine going on in the Roman world, and they know some of their own brothers and sisters, other Christ followers, live in this part of the world where they're not going to have food. And so they take and they send off their stuff. Man, they had an incredible, if you study the church of Acts, they had an incredible generosity, an abnormal generosity, even to the point that non-Christians would look on them and say, something's unique about them. We're going to give them a name because we got to know who they are when we talk about them. We're going to call them the Christians, the Christ followers. These are people who are being incredibly generous. Generosity always demonstrates value, right? When we're generous, we're telling someone, hey, you matter to me. I see you. When we send funds to Moldova, when we send funds down to Mexico and we build soup kitchens and do things out there, what are we telling them? We're saying we value you. We see you. You're not alone. When we send funds over to East Asia to a family that lives there and they've moved and they know no one there and they have very little other English-speaking people even in their world and they're isolated and they're by themselves, and when we go and we send people to be with them and when we send resources and we're generous with them, we say we value what you're doing and we see you. That's what generosity is. Parents, you know this, right? We all know this as parents. You love your children. You value your children. And so you try to what? You try to give them the world. And because you want to be generous, you're generous with things that you value. And this is what was valued here in the early church. I want to show you, last week, we had the opportunity to have our students and our children participate in Unleashed. And they responded and they began to be generous. Parents know this. We've been teaching your children. We've been partnering with you to teach your children about generosity. Because trust me, they don't get this anywhere else. They don't get this in the world that we say, where the value out beyond the walls of this church is mine, 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 and more, more, more. Hoard it for me. Keep it for me. I want to get more, build more, look more, all of those things. And so we begin to teach the value to our kids at a young age to say, hey, man, if we can capture the heart now, what it is to be a Christ follower is to be generous and to give to those that you love. Take a look at the video as your kids responded.
I gave a castle with ponies.
I decided to try to step up my tithe just a little bit.
I committed to give $5 every month for 2 years and to give $100 before Christmas.
I brought a Nerf gun for somebody. It's really special to me. I loved it a lot, but I knew a kid needed it more than I did.
I really think Unleashed is about stepping out of my comfort zone and being uncomfortable, but yet God is my security blanket.
I bring a dog, a little play dog, and I really we've been loving on it for a while. So I knew that giving it to the church and other kids would be better, so I can share that love with other kids.
Generous for me, it means going above and beyond and sharing your time and sharing anything you have to the Lord.
Because people might not have that stuff.
It's because you're being generous, and I think everybody has a gift to be like that.
Because I know that I already have enough and that could maybe brighten someone's day, so I would like to bring that for someone else.
So to me, committing something to God, for me personally, I don't do well at speaking and doing new things. And so by committing, I want to go on hopefully a mission and get out of my comfort zone and meet new people and talk about the gospel and be a good role model for other people.
I've learned that it means giving above and beyond and doing and putting others first instead of just yourself.
And like to open up in your faith and like show that you love Jesus.
Unleashed to me has meant really just that I need to give up all that I have, and I need to recognize that it's not about me, it's about what God can do, not what I can do.
Isn't that cool? I love watching that. I'm so proud of Misty and Brad and our team here at Mansfield West, their children and student teams that love on kids every week. Guys, they're sharing the heart behind this idea of unleashing and letting go and not just keeping all for our own. I love the little girl that talks about her puppy dog, you know, through her no teeth talking, and she loved the dog, right? But she recognized that maybe it could bring hope to someone else. By giving it away, she was able to add value to others, and that's what generosity does. You know, here's the truth this morning, guys. Every church is known for something. Every church is going to be known for something. Years ago, when we were Fellowship of the Metroplex, before we merged, we just believed in this philosophy. We gave out donut holes to kids on Sunday morning, and we had a really exciting children's worship time because we just believed that eventually parents would follow their kids. And we wanted kids dragging their parents to church, going, I'm getting my donut holes, and we're going to church today. And that philosophy still has worked today. I mean, we still are that way today, and parents will come, but they said, well, my kid told me we had to come today and get donuts, and I'm here. So I'm out in the community one day, and somebody recognized me that I didn't know, and they go, hey, aren't you the pastor of, and you could tell they were trying to figure it out. They go, you're the pastor of the Donut Hole Church, right? I thought, yeah, hopefully we're known for something a little more than that. But I was laughing about it. But I think about that. You know, churches are known for things. There's churches in our community that are known for incredible missions. They do a great heart of reaching out and taking people around the world. There's churches that are known for doing a live nativity scene every December. And that's, nobody knows about the church other than that, but they know right there. They're faithful, and they do that every year. There are some churches that are known to be the grumpy church. I mean, there's the incredible grumpy church, and they don't know it, but everybody else seems to know it. Churches are going to be known for something. And so Unleashed, guys, has been about, what is Rush Creek going to be about? What are we going to be about as a church? What do we value? What are we committed to? What are we demonstrating? Well, guys, we are committed to being a sending church. We are committed to being ascending that says this, even if it means we lose some of our best people and leaders to go out, even if one day we continue to grow and expand and God blesses us with a piece of property out towards Burleson or Midlothian and we go out that direction and we plant another campus out of Mansfield West, guess what it's going to take? Some of our best people aren't going to get to stay and be comfortable in here. They're going to have to go there. Some of our best people are going to Portland. They're going now, going, I can do my job there, and we're going to go and we're going to work there. Some of our best people we're willing to send. We're committed to valuing that, to sharing the gospel here and around the world. That's why we push so hard on missions and getting you to at least taste what it is to see what God does in another place and go on one of our mission trips. We'll be working to cut the cost of those nearly in half, if at all possible, so that more families can participate in that. We are committed to being a sending church, but we are also committed, guys, hear my heart, to being a generous church. We are committed to be generous because it says, I see you. It says you matter. It says we're going to put our greatest idol, we're going to lay it on the table, the American idol of comfort, the American idol of all that money represents and power, and we're going to lay that on the altar, and we're going to tell people that we value them and we love them and that they matter to us. We want to be committed to that. And so when I think about commitment, I've told you this was a journey, right? It's a spiritual journey, and Jesus talked a lot about these things. The reality is that what you are committed to reveals the nature of who you are. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6, right? In verses 19 through 21, listen to what Jesus says. Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But it goes on to say this, collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. And then Jesus summarized this. You know the verse, right? Where your treasure is, what? There is your heart. What is he talking about? He's talking about resource. He's talking about things that we're doing, generous. He's talking about not struggling with the idol of greed and self and all the things we keep. He's talking about this idea of laying it down. Jesus talked about this a lot. In verse 24, he wraps it up by saying this, no one can be a slave of two masters, since he's going to hate one and love the other or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and what? And money. This is the thing we wrestle with. This is why it's so uncomfortable. This is why some of the chairs are empty this morning. Because when we talk about these things, we wrestle with these things. And it's difficult. But Jesus was the first one to talk about it. To have us lay down, to talk about the things that we value and we prioritize. The Unleashed Initiative has been about helping us take a spiritual journey. It's about helping us align our hearts. Think about it this way. When your back gets out of alignment or your shoulder gets out of alignment, what do? You go who? You go see a chiropractor, and they do something called a what? An adjustment to get you back in line so that your body can be healthy. Guys, very clearly, Unleashed has been about a spiritual adjustment. It's been about a realignment with making sure that we're a healthy body and a healthy people behind the things that we value and things that are supposed to matter the most. And sometimes it's not always comfortable. But also know this about commitment. Committing to a life of generosity is not the American dream. And that's also why it's so hard. It's a committed choice. It's living differently than the culture in which you live in. Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives us this story. He says, someone from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide our inheritance with me. That's a money matter, right? He says, friend, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you? He goes on to tell them, watch out and be on guard against all types of greed. Because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. That's the American dream, right? He told him a parable. He says, a rich man's land was very productive. It did very well. He thought to himself, what should I do? I don't have anywhere to store all the extra parts of my crops. It did so well. He says, I'm going to do this. thinks like we would, right? I'll tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger ones, and I'm going to store all my grain and my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat and drink and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? That's how it is with the one who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. The whole American dream, chasing, building. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things that God has given us. There's something to be said for being able to enjoy life, and we have the ability to do things and use things that we can buy and purchase as a tool for God's glory, to love and to care for others. There's nothing wrong with that, but there comes a time where it takes over our heart, where our life pursuit becomes about more. It becomes a security issue. It becomes greed issues. It becomes power issues. And Jesus himself is reminding here the things that matter. Guys, what we're about to do in this place matters. Commitment Sunday matters. What we're going to do over the next 2 years to unleash the spiritual journey and the wrestling that you've done over these last 6 weeks matters. Because of what is done today, I'll just read you a list. Hundreds of more kids will get to go to camp than have ever been at camp before. Hundreds of more people, families, will be on mission trip as we reduce those prices down to get more people, because we are giving so that we can be sending and generous to all parts of the world. Families will move and serve kingdom around the world. Families will move and serve in other places in our community. Thousands of people will be impacted by our compassion centers as we continue to put compassion efforts on every one of our local campuses. Thousands of people will come to a new church or revived church, where churches are about to close their door and no longer have a gospel presence, as we are allowed to go alongside them and help a church relive. Thousands of people and generations will be impacted. Thousands of people will be impacted as we, many hundreds of us, will go to Africa and translate the gospel into a brand new language to a people group. And generations to come in that area of a very dark area will come to life and be a light for Jesus. Thousands of people in Moldova and El Salvador and places around the world are going to be reached as we offer food in the name of Jesus. And as we love them and we share the gospel, their family trees and generations are going to change. A city of nuns, N-O-N-E-S. That's what they call Portland, Oregon, because they have no spiritual affiliation. Over 70% of the people say, I don't care anything about God. It is the most lost city in our country. And guess what? One day they'll tell the story that Portland, Oregon is a light for Jesus Christ. One day they'll tell the story that, man, the light shines brightly in Portland. It's a beautiful city. It's going to be a beautiful city for Christ. Why? Because people are going, people are sending, people are giving to places like Portland. And the empty chairs that are in the room today, they represent our ones. And in years to come, your one person who is far from God, your one person that you care for, is going to come to an event or attend an environment, or you're going to get the opportunity to share your life and your heart with them, and they're going to come and they're going to benefit from this campus or other campuses spread around our city as God multiplies the number of our campuses so that we can continue to reach people who are far from God. Guys, it matters. What we do is a demonstration of what we value. How will it happen? By God's power. We cannot do this on our own. God will have to unleash his spirit in a fresh new way, but it will be done through his people, by God's people and the commitment that we make. A few weeks ago, 800 of our people, I shared this in the last couple messages, gathered at our advanced commitment night. They wrestled, they prayed, they worshiped, they were challenged, they heard stories. And that night, they walked to a place like this on a stage, and they brought that commitment card. They made a commitment that over 2 years, over the next 2 years of their life, man, they're going to put their resources behind this. They're going to put their life incomes, their things that they're taking care of their family with. They're going to take their comfortabilities. They're going to sacrifice. They're going to surrender, and they're going to say, God, here's what I want to do. Here's what I feel like you've called me to do over the next 2 years, so that we can be that church. We can go to those places, and it won't just be our money. It'll involve our time and our talents and every part of our body. They came down, and they began on a stage like this to lay their cards down. I want you to take a look at some of the stories that came out of that night.
We're talking about unleashing our generosity and this great vision that God has given us, the where to. But there comes a time where you have to reckon with the where from.
Getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, as far as realizing that I have to step outside of my box, what's comfortable for me and everything that I've tried to store for myself. and realized that giving back to God what he's given to me is the ultimate sacrifice.
I told him, I think we're supposed to double it. And I just looked at him and said, I think we're supposed to double it. And he just said, I think you're right.
You know, it really is stepping out of our comfort zone, but we know that we can't outgive God.
The Spirit told me it's going to be all right. You give it to me, and I'll make a way for you. So tonight, I'm all in. I'm unleashed.
Regaining that excitement and fire for Jesus and for the Lord and for the kingdom work, and I'm just super excited about what Unleashed is going to do.
We're naturally people that are creatures of comfort and like to stay within our comfort zone. And this has caused us to boldly step out of anything that's ever out of that comfort zone and making sure we're just challenged to where it's got to be a God thing to get us through this. It's also really helping us to teach our three children about living sacrificially and for God.
I'm just so full of joy and cannot wait to see what God has in store for our church, for us as a family personally, being in faith and stepping way out, and we're just doing it so gladly and so excited to just put our faith out there for God.
My commitment to Unleashed to me means trusting God when ends don't meet, committing more than we can give, and allowing Him to do exceedingly more and seeing Him give us that little bit more that we needed, committing that to Him and Him giving more, committing that to Him and waiting for more, knowing that He's going to do exceedingly above and beyond what we can even imagine. That's Unleashed to me.
For the next few moments, we're going to ask that our church gather around and join those that went at Advanced Commitment Night. We had those that I said, when Advanced Commitment Night was about, there were those that said, I got to go first. I'm going to step up and we're going to lead the way. And some people were there. Not everybody could be there. And we get all that. But we certainly want to give everybody the opportunity to participate, to be part of what God is doing. We believe in a grand, large vision that is bigger than anything we could accomplish on our own. It makes us nervous. It's not something we could do in our own thoughts and our own wisdom. So next few minutes, you've been praying, you've been talking about, you've been wrestling with, what would you do? I want you to take out the commitment card. I want to share just a little bit because I want to be very clear on what this is today. If you'll notice there on the first blank, it says, this is what we normally give in a year at Rush Creek. For some, that may be zero. You may not have ever given anything. For some, that may be a certain amount. But what you would normally give in a year goes in that first box. The second box is, because of Unleashed, I feel like God wants me to expand. You've heard some people say, well, I was going to double it, or we were going to increase, or we went from this percentage to that percentage. We feel like that we're going to give this much more a month. Well, you would put that annual amount in that one, and then you would put that, add those two together and put it in that box. And then you multiply by what? Two, because it's a two-year commitment. Are you going to give all this next week? No. This is something you're going to do over the course of the next 2 years, from December of 17 through December of 19. This is what we'll be committed to. This is what we'll know to begin to plan to do the projects and fulfill the things that we've put out there for you that we feel like God is leading us to do. It could be that when we talked about stored resources, you sold something or made a sacrifice there, you'd put that amount. But the number in the box, that's the two-year commitment. That's the total number over 2 years, what you would give over the next 2 years. You want to make sure you fill out the name and all the contact stuff so we can send you a letter, let you know kind of where we are and keep you updated on things as we go. But wanted to make sure you understood how the commitment card works, and we're going to be bringing those here in just a minute. But before we do, here's what I'm going to ask. We started this journey in prayer, and we're going to end it that way. We believe that prayer is the essential piece. I said from day one, what? With the card. God, what do you want me to do? Just pray about it. And then do what God asks you to do. That's all we ask. You do what God has laid on your heart to do. And so for the next 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to spend some time just in prayer. Not moving around, not responding. We just want you to sit and pray. Some of you came in today with a number. You already knew the number. You've already agreed to the number. You came in and you're just dedicating that number. We've got our card filled out. We've already done it. Or maybe you need to finish it up. But man, we're ready. Some, like Michelle and I, we went to Advanced Commitment Night and we thought we had a number. And because of some things that happened that night and a couple of things that we had been talking about and wrestling with, even that very night, God laid on our heart to increase what we gave. And we changed our number. We scratched through and we had to write a new number on there. Some came in today not prepared at all. Like, I don't know that I even want to be a part of that. I'm not going to do anything. And maybe through what you've seen, maybe God has laid it on your heart. I would just ask you to pray about, do you have a role in this? Could you be a part of this? What would God want you to do? And so for the next few minutes, just in the quietness of the room, we invite you to pray. Pray together as families, pray as individuals, and then I'll come up and give some further instructions here in just a minute. So let's pray. Father, be honored in this time. We bow before you and pray. And God, we ask, I said it from early, shape and mold our hearts. Dedicate, commit what we've been committed to do. But God, also challenge us. Help us step out in faith and trust you, God. Be honored in this time. Comes a time when the athlete's ready to get on the field. All the practice has been practiced. All the speeches have been given. All the coaching has been done. All the game prep is ready. And they line up at the tunnel, and they get ready, and the energy begins to build, and they know it's game time. It's time to go do what God has called them to do, what God has prepared them to do, what the talents and the abilities he's given them. And so, church, today we stand at the tunnel, and it's time to run out. It's time to go and say, yes, we're going to do this. We're so excited to see what God's going to do with this. And so the worship team's going to lead us in a couple of songs. One of these that you're familiar with about what we surrender. Humbly we stand as an offering. And I'm going to ask you to sing, but I want you to come when you're ready. Whenever you're ready to bring a card, you're just going to lay them up here across the stage, fold them where no one's going to see your numbers. You can lay them all the way down the side at whatever point you're ready. You may want to sit there and continue to pray for a little bit. You may want to sing from your chair for a while, but when you're ready or your family is ready, we're going to ask you to respond and to bring your card down, lay it up on the stage, and then when you return to your seat, we just want to join together in worship. We're going to say thanks, God, for this opportunity. Thanks that we get to participate. Thank you, God, for what you've done in my life to get me ready to do this. Thanks for the wrestling. And God, thank you for the lives that are going to be changed.